We're holding at the top of Ein Zayin Amud Aleph. So this Mishnah and the Gemara on it, we're going to mainly be dealing with matters of halalos. We mentioned at the beginning of the parak that there are such things as halalim. So now let's get into details of what exactly is the definition of a halal and to what extent that status gets transmitted from generation to generation. So the Mishnah starts off, Bas halal zocher psula min akohuna. The daughter of a male halal is possible to marry a kohen. Meaning, in other words, we're going to say further on that it's different if a Yisrael marries a halal law, then that status does not get transmitted to her daughter. But the Tanakhama is saying over here that if a halal marries a regular Bas Yisrael, their sons are going to be halalim and their daughters are going to be halalois, and therefore the daughter would be possible to marry a kohen la'olam forever. Meaning, in other words, when you say forever, in other words, again, it breaks off at any time in the female line, in the sense that the daughter is a halala. If she marries a regular Yisrael, then fine, the children will be, their children won't be halalim anymore. But in other words, his son will be a halal, and his own daughter will be a halala, his son's daughter will be a halala, his son's son's daughter, etc. That's what it means, la'olam. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, Yisrael shenasa halala bite ksheira l'kohuna. The other way around, if Yisrael marries a halala, then the daughter would be kosher to marry a kohen, as we'll work with this all out in the Gemara. And the Mishnah continues, halal shenasa bas Yisrael bite ksheira l'kohuna. If a halal marries a bas Yisrael, then the daughter is possible to marry a kohen. Now that seems to be repeating the first line of the Mishnah. We're going to see in the Gemara why the Mishnah is doing that. Next, so all that is according to Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bas Ger Zocher, Kabas Cholol Zocher. Rabbi Yehuda says that the daughter of a male Ger, meaning in other words that he married a Jewish woman and after he became a Ger, and they have a daughter, Kabas Cholol Zocher, Rabbi Yehuda says is exactly like the daughter of a male Cholol, meaning she would also be possible to marry a Kohen. So if her mother is a Giyotis, then Rabbi Yehuda would say she owes kosher to marry a Kohen, but if her father is a Ger, then Rabbi Yehuda says no. And we'll work out in the Gemara, again, why we'll primarily talk about this business of Gerim and Kohenim, primarily we'll talk about Amdaf Ayin Ches, why he holds that. Rebbe Lezben Yaakov says differently. Yisrael shenasa giyoras bitte ksheira l'kohuna. If Yisrael marries a giyoras, so the mother is a giyoras, then the daughter is kosher to kohuna. Fine, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that point. Ger shenasa bas Yisrael bitte ksheira l'kohuna. Also, if a ger marries a bas Yisrael, so not like Rabbi Yehuda, there Rabbi Yehuda had said the daughter would be possible to marry a kohen. Rebbe Lezben Yaakov holds she's kosher. Only if a ger marries a giyoras, only if, in other words, both parents of the daughter are gerim, only then the daughter is possible to a kohen. And Rabbi Lezman Yaakov adds, echad ger ve'echad avodim mishachrorim. These dinim that we're talking about, as far as gerim, apply equally well to freed avodim, because once an eved is freed, once an eved knani is freed, then basically he has the same dinim as a ger, so the same thing. And he continues, Afilu anasora duris, even up to 10 generations, they'd be possible to marry kohenim if the ancestry is exclusively gerim or avodim meshachrorim. So in other words, if you have in the first generation a ger marries a giyoras. And then they have a son. And when that son grows up, he also marries a giyoras. And then they have a son or a daughter. It doesn't matter, whichever one. And they end up marrying also a ger or an eved meshuchar, etc. Even though 10 generations have passed since the original gerus, nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says they're still possible to marry kohenim, ad shetei imo im Yisrael, unless at some point the mother or the father, for that matter, is from a born Jew. Then, at that point, the children of that marriage would be kosher to marry kohenim, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Omer, af ger shenasa giyoras bitte ksheira l'kohuna, Rabbi Yossi says that even if a ger marries a giyoras in the first generation, then the daughter is kosher to marry a kohen. So in other words, you have three opinions over here, and we're going to see in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Ches that there's yet another opinion, Reb Shimon's opinion, which we touched on the other day in the Gemara. But in the Mishnah over here, you have three opinions regarding the daughter of a ger. According to Reb Yehuda, it's a problem for her to she's not allowed to marry a kohen if her father is a ger, but she's allowed if her mother is a ger. According to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, as long as either parent is a Yisrael, then the daughter is allowed to marry a Kohen. But if both of them are Gerim or Avodim Meshachrodim, then not. And Rabbi Yossi is saying that even in that case, they would be kosher to marry Kohen. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. In the first part of the Mishnah, when we say Bas Cholo Zocha Psulim and Akohuna La'olam, so we said, again, that if a cholo marries a bas Yisrael, the daughters of such a family are posel lo'olam, meaning, in other words, we said that his daughter, his son's daughter, his son's son's daughter, etc., are all going to be posel. So my lo'olam, what do we mean by lo'olam? Why does the Mishnah have to say the word lo'olam?
If a cholo marries a bas Yisrael, what happens if he marries a bas Kohen?
When we say a bas Yisrael, for this purpose, we mean a bas Kohen as well. We learned before, lo huzru k'sheiros le'nosil p'sulim, the bnos Kohenim are not told not to marry halolim. They're perfectly allowed to marry halolim. Nevertheless, though, we're saying, the Tanakhama, at least in our Mishnah, is saying, we're going to see in the Gemara, there are other opinions, that says that the status of halolus is going to be perpetuated throughout the generations from father to son. And also from father to daughter, but only in the first generation. So his daughter will be a halala, says the Tana of our Mishnah, but his daughter's daughter would not. So what do we mean by stressing la'olam in this case? So like this, ma'u detema midi dehavi amitzri ve'edem. You might think otherwise that a cholo maybe is like a mitzri or an adomi. We know, as we've learned before, if a ger from mitzri, if a person from mitzrayim or from edom converts, then only for two generations are they also to marry into the Jewish people. The third generation is already allowed. So malahalom acha shloisha dodas. So the same way as there, after three generations, or meaning already in the third generation, they're allowed to marry a bas Yisrael. Askan nami laacha shloisha dodas. The same thing over here. It would also be maybe a cholol's descendants after three generations. There's no problem of cholos anymore. Kamash malon. Therefore, the Tana has to tell us that not. It's not so, and the psul of a chola lasts forever. For the reason, because as the Gemara is going to work out over here, the pasuk says in connection with a chola, the word zaroi. And the word zaroi means his descendants, no matter how far down we go. As opposed to mitzri and adomi, it doesn't use the expression zaroi. By the way, I forgot to mention, as far as Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the Mishnah, why does he hold that it has to be that if a ger marries a geyoris, the daughter is possible to marry a Kohen, and only if at some point there's imei Yisrael. So basically, well, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the daughter of a ger zocher, basically what it is he learns from a tzada shava with a cholol, he holds that you have to make a tzada shava between a cholol and another case over there that we're going to learn about in the Gemara tomorrow on Daf Ayin Ches. And therefore he says because of that, the daughter of a ger, of a male ger, would be possible to marry a Kohen. He learns from a combination of cholol and kohen gadol ba'amona. So and he makes a tzada shava. Therefore, he says that's how it would be. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't agree with that tzada shava because the tzada shava that they have in common is not really they have something in common. Each one of them has a tzad chomer, and Rabbi Elazar means in other words they have some kind of chomer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't consider that to be a tzada shava. It has to be they have something in common actually. So therefore that's why he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda and says that if the daughter of a male ger is not a problem as long as his wife is a Yisrael, he does hold that the wife of a Kohen has to be Mizera Beis Yisrael, as we'll learn tomorrow in the Gemara from a Pasuk in Yechezkel, and therefore there has to be Yisrael, there has to be born Jewish lineage mixed in there somewhere for her to be kosher. So again, we'll work that out in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Ches. Anyway. Getting back to the Gemara over here. So that's why the Mishnah had to stress la'olam again by a cholol, because otherwise you would think that maybe it expires after a few generations. Okay, now we said on the other hand, Yisrael shenasa chalala, that if Yisrael marries a chalala, then their daughter is kosher to marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, Menahani Mili, where do we know that from? Amar Rabbi Yechon Meshum Rabbi Shimon, or on the side of the Tzihah over here, it says it should be Rabbi Shmuel, like this. Nemar Kan V'lo Yechalo Zarei Ba'amav. The Pasuk says, regarding, in particular, it says regarding a Kohen Gadol marrying an Almana, which is one of the ways in which a Chalola can be produced, is it says he should not desecrate his Zarei, his descendants, among his people. And now we have, what's this word, Ba'amav, V'nemar Lahalan. You have a Pasuk in connection with a Kohen becoming Tomei for his wife, Lo Yitama Baal Ba'amav. A husband, when he's among his people, if his wife was posel to him, is not allowed to become tummy for her. Meaning, if there's nobody around, then she's a mess mitzvah, then he has a mitzvah to bury her regardless. But if there's other people around, ba'amav, he's among his people, meaning there are other fellow Jews around who can bury her, then he's not allowed to because he wasn't allowed to be married to her in the first place. The point is, we have the word ba'amav in both places, so therefore we have gzeira shava. Malahalam schorim v'lenekavis, just like over there, when it comes to tuma, only the males are told not to do it, not the females, because after all, we know that a koyan is not allowed to marry a chalolo or a grusha or what have you. But as we've said many times before, it's not the other way around. A bas koyan is allowed to marry a chalolo or a ger or what have you. So just like over there, the din of lo yitama baal ba'amav applies only to men. Afkan schorim v'lenekavis, the same way over here. When it says zare ba'amav, only the male is able to make his children halolim, by the female is not. So therefore, we learn from that that the daughters of a that the daughter of a halala will not be considered a halala herself. Okay. So the Gemara says elame after. Well, by that logic, if we're saying that the concept of halala to a certain extent doesn't apply to women, well, then even the first generation, bita shel kohen gadol tishri, then the daughter, suppose that a kohen gadol marries an almana, which is also to him, maybe we should say she herself is not a halala. If you're telling me we have a pasuk that implies that if we have a gzeira shava, then it applies only to men and not to women. And in fact, the Pnei Yeshua explains that what the Gemara's Hava Amina is, maybe the concept of Halala is only the woman herself who had relations with somebody that she was that who's also to her and she's also to him. For example, an Amon of a Kohen Gadol. You could say the Kohen Gadol has relations with her, makes her a Halala, as we're going to work out in detail on the Amud over here. Maybe we'd say the daughter of Bechlal is not a Halala. And the answer is, the Gemara says, Miksiv Benoi. Sure, but the Pasuk doesn't say that his son will become desecrated, will become a cholo. Zarei Ksiv. The Pasuk says, Lo Yichalo Zarei Ba'amav. So therefore, necessarily, it has to include both boys and girls. But the Gemara asks, in that case, Bas Benoi Tishri. Fine, but why shouldn't we say that his son's daughter should be mutter to marry a Kohen? Again, fine, you can't say that the Gzeira Shava of Ba'amav refers to the first generation daughter, because we just said it says Zarei, but now that we have, on the one hand it says Zarei, on the other hand it says, on the other hand we have the Gzeira Shava, that tells us that it should, that at some point it doesn't apply to women, so maybe it shouldn't apply already to his son's daughter. And the answer is, so maybe it only applies to the first generation. And again, Ksiv lo yichalo zarei, again, because the pasuk does say lo yichalo zarei, meaning his zera. So therefore, that means, and the point is, the word zarei, his zera, comes to include together the father and the son. So therefore, it means, in other words, so we're including this for the father and his son in the same pasuk. And therefore, so what does the Gzeira Shava help us is as far as his daughter's daughter. So the point is, in other words, but within the word zarei, makish zarei loy, we're making a hekish in that one word zarei, between his son and himself. Mahu bite l'kohona, afnoi bite psula, mahu bite psula, afnoi bite psula, just like he himself, the Kohen Gadol, who married an almana, the children would be, his son would be a cholol, and his daughter would be a cholola, the same way his son is the same thing, his son will be a cholol, and his son's daughter will also be a cholola. Well, the Gemara says, bas bite kitzar, well, by that logic, we should say it should apply to the daughter's daughter as well. And the Gemara answers him, came Gzeira Shava, Maya Hani, right? Well, if you weren't like that, then what would the Gzeira Shava be helping us? The fact is, we do have a Gzeira Shava that tells us that to a certain extent, it applies only to boys, not to girls. On the other hand, we have the word On the other hand, we have the word zaroi, which not only includes all children, but also makes a hekesh between his children and him. So we're meant to understand that putting the two of them together, the Gzeira Shava tells us that ultimately in the female line, eventually this problem of halala stops, namely the daughter herself is a halala, but her daughter in turn is not. On the other hand, it continues down in the male line, and therefore the son is a cholol, and so are all his children, and the son's son is a cholol, and so are all his children, and so forth. And that brings us to what we said in the Mishnah, bas cholol zocho, k'sulam en akona la'olam. On the other hand, Yisrael shenos a cholol abitik shero l'akona. So that's how it comes out then. So a Kohen Gadol marries an Amona, their son, we'll call him Yaakov, is going to be a cholol, and if they have a daughter, well, here actually you have Yaakov, a Kohen Gadol, marries Rachel and Almona, so their son Reuven will be possible to marry a Kohen, and so will their daughter Dina. On the other hand, when Reuven marries, his sons will all be chalolim and his daughters will all be chalolois. On the other hand, when Dina marries, then her children will not be chalolois. That we learn from the Gzeira Shava, that the daughter herself is a chalola, but not the daughter's daughter. Okay. So the Gemara says, now, so we continued in the Mishnah. We said cholol shenasa bas Yisrael vite psula. We said if a cholol marries a regular Jewish woman, and yeah, you asked before about bas koyin over here. In general, most of the time when we say bas Yisrael in these halachas, we don't mean a bas Yisrael as opposed to a koyin. We just mean a regular Jewish woman as opposed to a giyodas or other people like that. Because again, there's no difference whether a cholol marries a bas Yisrael or a bas koyin. Either way, the din is the same thing. Anyway, we said if a cholol marries a bas Yisrael, his daughter is possible to marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, "Hotani le'reisha bas cholol zochah psulam and akona la'olam." We already said that in the reisha. Why are we repeating that? And the Gemara says, "You're right. It wasn't really necessary to repeat it." Tani reisha Yisrael shenasa cholola. Once it already said in the reisha. Once we just said in the previous line, if a Yisrael marries a cholola, b'tik shere l'kohona. Then Tonanami sefer cholol shenasa bas Yisrael. So therefore, the Mishnah also mentions the case where the cholol marries a bas Yisrael, just to keep things parallel. It's true, we already knew that din from before, but like this, it's a handy way to remember. Yisrael marries a cholola versus the cholol marries a bas Yisrael. The actual din that she's posel menakohuna, we had already at the beginning of the Mishnah bas cholol zochah psulam menakohuna, and that in turn is an introduction to later in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says bas ger zochah ke bas cholol zochah. Okay, the Gemara points out mas nissen de loikur of this story ben Yehuda. Now our Mishnah, so again, let's summarize. The daughter of a cholol is a cholola. The daughter of a cholola is not a cholola. So, our Mishnah then, in saying that, does not go like Rabbi Distoy ben Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Distoy ben Yehuda Omer, Kishem Shabnei Yisrael Mikvatara l'chalolas, just as much as Jewish men are like a mikvah that cleanses chalolas, meaning, in other words, you have a woman as a chalola, and she marries a regular Yisrael, and it's like a mikveh that cleans up the tumah, and now the daughter is kosher to marry a kohen, and that's what we said in the Mishnah, the daughter of a halala is not a halal. The same way, the story learns, v'nois Yisrael mikveh tarah l'halalim, the same way, Jewish women are a mikveh that is matahar halalim, so according to him, the status of halalus does not perpetuate itself to the next generation from the father either. So according to him, in other words, the scenario we had before, Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, let's say, their children will be a Cholol and a Cholola respectively, but according to him, it doesn't continue down to the next generation at all. So the Gemara says, my time is that of this story, but of Yehuda. Why does he say that? Now, after all, the fact is, we did have a hekesh before between Zaroi and Loi, so you can't just say, so you can't just ignore that. But the thing is, because he says, Amakra, Loi Chalo Zaroi Ba'amav. He says, yes, but let's focus on that word Ba'amav before we used it for Gzeira Shava, but also of this story's point, which we said from that Gzeira Shava, we learned that the girls are mutter. But also, Rav Destori is focusing on the fact, instead of ba'amav, with one mem, it could have said ba'amimav, which would be with two mems, which would be more plural. So, uh, So in other words, Amov implies more like one nation. So therefore, we learn from that, the Am Echod Hu Demechal. So when would there be Chalolos? Only if both of them are effectively from that one same nation, meaning that they're both Chalolim. The Shnei Amom ain't a Mechal, but if it's two different nations, meaning one is a Cholol, a Chalola, and the other one is a regular Yid, or is a regular Yid, then it's not. So Rabbi Story actually says, so to be exact then, Rabbi Story holds that if a Cholol marries a Chalola, then the din of Chalolos goes to the next generation, and the boys are Chalolim, and the girls are Chalolos. But as long as, so he holds, as long as either parent is not a Cholol, then the children are fine. So we still have what we said before, the hekesh between Zaroi and himself. And the fact is, both of them are possible in the sense that the Kohen was also to marry this particular woman. So now he's saying, so the first generation children sure are going to be halalim. The second generation, if they continue to marry halalim, then you have the same issue. But if they don't, then not. So he learns that from the word ba'amav, where it says ba'amav with one mem rather than ba'amimav with two mems. And the Ritva also adds, the fact is, since the pasuk says lo yichal al zarei, then we understand if the kohen is marrying somebody who's also to him, then the daughter is definitely possible. There you don't need that they're from one am. All we're talking about is when it comes to the children, when it comes to Zaroi, then it has to be Ba'amav, it has to be that they're produced all from one Am rather than from two. Okay, so that's Rav Deskoy, but Rabbi Yehuda, the other Chachamim disagree with that, and the Halacha is like them. Next, the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, Lo Yichalo Zaroi. Now, so let's focus on, so far we've been talking about what's the status of the children. What happens to the woman herself who married a Kohen, who was also to marry her? So when the pasuk says lo yichalol zaroi, he shouldn't cause that his children will be profaned and become halalim. Ainli elo zaroi, you would only know from that this bia asura makes that the children are halalim. Hi atzma minayin. How do we know that the woman herself becomes a halala? Which is negea for two things. Rashi points out, first of all, if she herself is a bas koyin, the result of this biasura is that she won't be able to go back to eating truma in her father's house. Like this, if she had married somebody who was mutter to her, well, I mean, if she's a wife of a koyin, she'd be able to eat truma on that basis alone. But even if not, even if she married a Yisrael, then, as the pasuk tells us, as we learned extensively in Yevamos, if her husband passes away or divorces her, and she doesn't have any descendants from him, then she's able to go back to eating truma, but only as long as there was no bia asura with her. And now that there was a bia asura, then she became a halala, therefore she's not allowed to eat truma anymore. Second of all, the Nachtimina, Rashi says, is if another Kohen were to marry her, then he would be getting malchus for the fact that she's a halala, which we're going to work out later in the Gemara. You can have a case where a woman is also to a kohen on multiple grounds. She could be a grusha and a halala and a zoina and so forth, and there could be malchus for each one. So it's important to know when she becomes a halala. So now we're saying she becomes a halala from the fact that the kohen had a bia asura with her. So the braisa continues, amrit, so like this, how do you know that she becomes asur? So first, the braisa is amrit kavachomer, because you can make a kavachomer. Ma zarei shaloi over avera. Madach, the children did not do any avera, because they weren't even conceived at the time. Or they were conceived, but whatever, they certainly weren't born at the time. Mischalal, and yet those children become halalim. He sha'ovra avera, so the woman herself, who actually does an avera, because the kohen is also to marry her, and she's also to be married to him. Ein adin shemischalalas, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that she becomes a halala as a result of that? Now, to be sure, the Pnei Yeshua points out, you could think to shrug that up from the case of a mamzer. A mamzer is also didn't do anything wrong. It's his parents who did something wrong. And the fact is that the mother of a mamzer doesn't become also lover makal, but the mamzer himself is. So Pnei Yeshua says, look, you can't learn psulei kahuna from psulei kahal. A mamzer is a different kind of psul. It's a psul to marry into the Jewish people at all. That's a different kind of thing. We're not talking about over here. As far as psulei kahuna, though, you don't find such a thing that the children should be possible and the mother should not. So that's the Braisa says. So you can learn it that way. However, the Braisa says, now the Braisa says, why? You can slug that up by considering the man himself, the Kohen himself. After all, he did the Avera as well, and yet he's not Mischalo. He doesn't get desecrated from being a Kohen. Now, there is the Mishnah in Bechoras tells us, Rashi refers to, that if a Kohen marries a woman who is also to him, it's true he is possible to serve in the Beis Mikdash, but only all he needs to do is make a neder barabim, or adas rabim, that he won't have enough from her, where such a neder, as we've learned before, is impossible to be matir, unless it's levar mitzvah, and here obviously it's not. And therefore, once he does that, then already he's allowed to do the avoda, even though he still is married to her. In other words, so what he does is, so he married this woman, Bavera. So we tell him, you can't serve in the Beis Mikdash yet. You have to be Madir Hana. You have to make a nether al-das rabim that you won't have Hana from her and she from you. So that you'll have no choice to get divorced. Then at that point, he's allowed to go and continue serving in the Beis Mikdash. And once he's done his term of duty in the Beis Mikdash, then he can go right out again and actually execute the divorce. The point is, we see that just the fact that he's married to her doesn't prevent him from doing the avodah. Now, there are mefoshim who learn that, there's a question whether this that we're saying, when he marries a woman ba'avera, that he's possible to serve in the Beis Mikdash, is that a knas d'rabbanan or is an actual din d'oraisa? But even if we say it's an actual din d'oraisa, mefoshim explain, fine, but the fact remains that we don't say he's possible forever. A woman who married a Kohen, she wasn't allowed to, become a woman who marries a man that she wasn't a Kohen, a Halala, for example, or a Grusha, or whatever, who marries a Kohen, becomes usher to eat Truma, or to marry a Kohen forever. Whereas the Kohen himself is not like that. He may be temporarily disqualified from marrying, from serving in the Beis Mikdash, or from Duchening, but once he's madir hana, once he makes this neder not to have hana from her anymore, then he's able to continue serving in the Beis Mikdash. So in that case, then that shows that he's not permanently disqualified. So you could slog up the kal v'chomer that way. You could say, you see from that somebody who does an aveira is not necessarily disqualified. And the Gemara answer, the Braisa answers, no, because malahush came in meschal b'chol makim. No, because you never find that a Kohen is Mischalo. You never find that, again, even if you were to have relations with a Shifcha or a Zoyna, the fact is, you never have a case where a man has relations with somebody who is Osir, and the result of that is that he himself becomes Posel. Toima Behish, Mischalo is Bahomokim. So how do you compare with her, where she is any place, she is Mischalo, in the sense, not only we're talking about over here, if she married a Kohen, for example, you have also that if a woman has had relations with somebody who is also to her, as we've learned before, if she has relations with a goy or a mamzer or an eved or whatever, that also passes her from truma and from marrying a kohen. So we see that a woman is capable of being posel in such ways using bia where a man is not going to be posel. So therefore, the kavachomer we had is still valid. That madach, the children, didn't do anything wrong at all in their posel. How much more so her? Then the bride.
Have we learned also that the man, when if you're anybody who any man that has a wrong, he makes
his, the children become halalim, but we're saying he himself doesn't. That's the point. Continues the bride. The im nafshach loymar. Now, if you want to think to say, you want to argue to the contrary, you want to slog up the kavachomer in a different way. Then the Braisa says, I'll give you a different way. You can't learn it from a kavachomer. Fine. Omakura lo yichalo zaroi. The pasuk says you should not desecrate his descendants and. Lo yechulal. So the word yechalal implies somebody who would have been kosher and who was kosher and now becomes chalal. Zesha yekosher v'nischalal. Therefore, it has to be also telling us that there was somebody who was kosher and now becomes posel, namely the woman herself that he married, who was kosher to marry a kohen until now, and now became posel and became a chalala, as opposed to the children who were never kosher in the first place. So in other words, so we can learn it that way. We can say. Now we learn it from the fact lo yichalal, implying that there has to be a kashrus over here that then was nischalal. Elsewhere, by the way, the Gemara points out that also you have the word lo yichalal itself has two lamads in it. It could have said lo yachel, and lo yichalal teaches us that there are actually two different kinds of chilul over here. One of the wife and one of the children. So the Gemara says, "My im nafshach loymar." What is this? The Braisa said, "Im nafshach loymar." If you want to say, meaning in other words, that the Braisa is implying there is a way to shlug up a kal v'chomer, and therefore the Braisa is saying, "Fine, I'll give you a pasuk that says the same din." So because you might think you could shlug up the kal v'chomer, you could say, "Mazare shekain yitzirase ba'aveira." When the child to begin with was created through an aveira, was conceived through an aveira. So it's true, the child didn't do anything wrong, but on the other hand, to begin with, they were created through an aveira. So they, on the other hand, the woman was not. So therefore, the braisa has to add, omakro, lo yichalo, lo yicholo, zeshari pashu v'nischalo, therefore the braisa has to add the limud from the pasuk. Both of them are. Now, Tosfos Yeshanim over here points out, why don't we say, look, you have, you could prove to the contrary, you could slog up that. You could shlug up that upshlug by saying, so you're telling me, in other words, you want to say that the Zara is Tzirase Ba'avera, and therefore you want to say there should be a bigger reason to say that they're Halalim, but she is not. Well, you could prove to the contrary. We just said that a woman who had relations with somebody who was also to her becomes a Halala, becomes also to marry a Kohen, so not a Halala per se, but she becomes also to marry a Kohen. The fact is, she wasn't Yitzirase Ba'avera, she wasn't conceived in Avera, so from that you could show that one has nothing to do with the other. And you could do a tzada shove even between them. So Tosfos Yeshanim says, it may not be a real tzada shove. Or there could be some kind of pircha on it. There could be some other way of shlugging it up. Marsha points out that part of the question might be, do we consider a woman in such a situation to be a halala or to be a zoida? When we say, when a Jewish woman has had relations with a goy, or with an eved, or a mamzer, or what have you, does that make her a halala? Or does it actually make her a zoina, which is a whole different category? So if you say that, then that might be one way of what the Tosfos Yeshanim is saying, that there may be a way of slogging that up, because you could say, as far as that she becomes a zoina, that's one thing, but as far as that she becomes a halala, no, because the fact is she doesn't become a halala from such a relationship. What the Gemara is saying, the difference between the child that was conceived by Avera and the mother who was not, would remain valid. Because, in other words, you would go like this. You have your kal v'chomer, that says the child didn't do anything wrong and yet they were halal, how much more so the mother who did something wrong. You would shlug that up by saying that the child was conceived by Avera. You would try to shlug that, whereas the mother was not. You would try to shlug up that in turn by saying yes, but on the other hand, you see that there's a case where a woman has relations that's also to her and makes her a halala. So the Gemara doesn't do that. So now Tosfos Yeshanim is saying, because there's probably some way of shlugging that up, and Marsha says one way might be by pointing out she doesn't become a halala from that. She becomes a zoina. That's a whole different thing. Fine, both a halala and a zoina are also to marry a Kohen, but they're still different categories. So therefore, that leaves us with what we're saying in the Gemara, that we could shlug up the kal v'chomer, and therefore we need a pasuk to tell us what we otherwise would have learned with the kal v'chomer.
Children are the same thing. If the mother is a halala or
right, that's true. But nevertheless, the fact is, there's halala and zoina are still two different categories, and therefore, just because we find that she becomes a zoina because of a bias sort of, doesn't necessarily mean that she becomes a halala because of it, or doesn't necessarily mean that we can use that to shlug up defining when the children are halalim and when they're not. Okay. Turn it up, bottom. We learn in a braisa. Ezer hi halala. What is the definition of a halala? Kol shenoda min apsulim. Any daughter who was born from someone who was possible. So the Gemara says, my psulim, what kind of psulim are we talking about? Ilema psulim loy, do we mean even a Yisrael where you have a woman who is possible to him? So we're not talking about where there's mamzeros or whatever, but you're talking about a bia that is also to Yisrael, and therefore the result is the daughter is a halala? No, can't be. Consider the case where he remarries his ex after she married somebody else. Where the psulalo, she's possible to him, as the Torah tells us, lo yuchabala arishan, lo shur mafakta, and yet, but the children would be kosher, dichtiv, as the pasuk says, te'eva he, it is a disgusting thing to do, but we also darshan, the word he means she. That it's a te'eva to marry her, but in Barneha te'evim, the children don't become te'eva as a result of that. So you see that just because Yisrael did a bias surah doesn't necessarily make the children halal, doesn't make the children halalim. So how can you say anybody who's born from psulim?
Both of them have committed an issue,
sure, but the point is that, yeah. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yehuda Hachi Kama, Ezri Chalala Kol Shenodim Psul Kohuna. The definition of a Chalala, she was born from somebody who's specifically posel to a Kohen, meaning the four kinds of women that are also, the three kinds of women that are also to a Kohen had you, Grusha, Zoyna, and Chalala, and the four that are also to a Kohen Gadol, those three, plus Amana, those are the ones where the daughter of such a marriage would be a Chalala. So if you want to ask, Nelda in, Loi, Nelda Loi, so you're telling me only if she was born from it, but not if she wasn't born from it. What about Vahari Amana? What about Vahari Amana, or Grusha, Zona? What about an Amona who marries a Kohen Gadol, or a Grusha, or a Zona who marries a regular Kohen, was not born from an Isser, but can have a Chalala, and yet she becomes a Chala when the Kohen has relations with her? The answer is, Omar Rabba Hachi Karma. You're right. What the Braisa means is, Ezer Chalala Muzkeres. What is the Chalala who is mentioned? And we're going to explain in a second what that word mentions mean. Is Shaloi Hoyal Shasa Kosha Klau, one who never had a time in her life when she was mutter to marry a Kohen, is Kol Shenodim and Psul Kohona, when she was born from somebody who was posel to the Kohona. Which means, in other words, as opposed to, we're going to talk about further on in the Sugya, that if you have a woman was born from some other kind of biyah surah, then she's not a chalala. There can be other issues with her. She can be she may be a mamzeres. She may be whatever. But a chalala is defined specifically as when a kohen had relations with a woman who's also to him by virtue of a status as a kohen, rather than by virtue of something else. That's when you have a chalala. So, but what do we mean by muzkeres? What does this word muzkeres mean? Amr of Yitzchak Ba'oven Hachakarma. What is the kind of halala where the primary source of it is midivrei Torah? The ein srichem lefarish midivrei sofrim. We don't even need the chachamim to explain to us. Like this, we had before, for example. How do we know that the woman herself who married the kohen becomes a halala? Ultimately, we had to learn it from lo yichalels and lo yichalel, implying that there's somebody who was kosher and now is neschalel, or because of the two lamids or whatever. But now we're saying, what kind of halala do you not even need divrei sofrim to explain? It's clear in the psukim, it's kol shenodim and psulik kohona, when a woman was born from psulik kohona, and that's the basic definition of halal. And the nafkamina of that would be, one nafkamina of that would be, for example, as far as the par helam davar shel tzibur, if Beis Din makes a mistake in certain kinds of halachas, or parallel to that, if the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake in certain kinds of halachas, they have to bring a special korban, but that doesn't apply when it's davar shel tzidukim moedim boy, when it's something that's so clear in the psukim that even the tzidukim, who don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, will agree to it, then it's not in that category. So therefore, so now it becomes important to know what kind of halala is clear from the psukim, and that would be when you have somebody who was born from Isurei Kohona, as opposed to the fact that the wife herself, the wife, the grusha wife of a kohen, or the zoyna wife of a kohen, or whatever, becomes a halala. That's not so clear from the psukim. We need to darshan it using one of the methods we said before. So therefore, the psukim might not agree with that, and therefore, if the Beis Din made a mistake on such a halacha, they would have to bring a parhelim davar shel tzibur and so forth. The Beis Din, whatever, right. And similar, the Kohen Gadol would have to bring a special korban if he made a mistake in that. It's also negeya as far as Zokin Mamre, because you have the same kind of thing. If a Zokin Mamre disagrees with the Beis Din on something that's blatantly obvious in the Pasuk, then he's not judged as a Zokin Mamre. So you have a few nafkaminas to know whether something is clear in the Psukim, or whether it's Darshan, or whether it's Darshan by the Chacham. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, so now we have our definition of Halala. So again, Halala is, there's two kinds of halalas, really. There's one that's clear in the pasuk, namely the daughter of a kohen and a woman that he's not allowed to marry specifically because he's a kohen, namely a grusha, zona, or for a kohen gadol and amana. And number two, you have the woman herself that he had relations with, who he's also to, also becomes a halala by that, meaning she was before something else. She was before an amana or a grusha or whatever, and now she can become a halala as well. We're going to see, actually, we're going to work out in the Gemara. Now, as we go through, it's not so simple. Not always are we going to say that she becomes a halala where she was already also by something else. That we're going to work that out on Amud Beis.
Okay, so a woman that's in Yisrael, married to Yisrael, and she remarries him when she's not supposed to, because in between he was married to someone else. That would be.
So that would be, that doesn't produce a halala. They're bechlal. The children have no taint on them at all. He te'evav ein banel te'evav. The children are not. Doesn't get passed down yet. Okay. The Gemara says, Tana Rabban, almona, almona, almona. What if you have three types of almona? Now we're going to see in the Gemara. Do we mean three different women who are almonas? Do we mean one woman who was an almona three times over? We're going to work that out in the Gemara. But right now, the Braisa is saying, almona, 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 ein chayiv al achas. If a Kohen Gadol then marries such a woman and has relations with her, then he's going to be chayiv only one time malchus. Similarly, grusha, 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 ein chayiv al achas. He's also going to be chayiv only one. On the other hand, almona u grusha v'chalala zayna. What if it's an almona? What about if it's all four of them? Bisman shein kaseder, when it happened in that order. First she became an almona, then she became a grusha, then she became a chalala, etc. Then chayiv achalachas v'achas. Then he's going to be chayiv individually for each one. On the other hand, zinsa, if first she was mezana and became a zayna, v'nis chalala, and then she became a chalala. Venis Garsha, later on she was married to somebody and divorced from him. Venis Armala, and later on she was married to somebody else and widowed from him. Ein Chayiv al Achas, then the Kohen Gadol, who has relations with her, will be Chayiv only one time. And we're going to work out in the Gemara on Amud Beis why that is so, why the order makes a difference. So let's analyze first the first part. We said Almona, Almona, Almona. Omemar, Almona, 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 Ein Chayiv al Achas. We have to figure out, Chay Almona Hechidomi. What do we mean by this almona, almona, almona? What do we mean? Ilema, do we mean that there are three different women over here? Shabbat almonas Ruben, ve'al almonas Shimon, ve'al almonas Levi. So he had relations with three almonas from three different husbands. And you're going to say he's chayiv only one malchus. Amaya ain't chayiv al achas. Why would he be chayiv only one malchus? The fact is you have different bodies over here, and usually in halacha when it comes to isurim that are chayav malchus or kores or what have you, usually every guf counts as its own individual isur. And even if they were all in one hasra, Mephoshim point out over here, you have to be talking about over here. I think Gemara is going to explain in a minute. We're talking about there was one hasra. But nevertheless, Gufin Mechlokin, in fact, there is an interesting point I think the Maharit brings up. So why don't we say, why can't he say about the second one that I forgot, the Hasra, after all, the action has to be done, Terkele Dibur, the excuse, why, because he always has the excuse after Terkele Dibur, I forgot it. And he explained that once he's already starting with the Aveda and then he's doing one after the other, then we don't say that. If after the Hasra there was Terkele Dibur, before he started doing the Aveda, then you would say that. But here, where it's one after the other, then you wouldn't say that.
He knows very well that he's not allowed
to do. And we know he's not allowed to do, but the fact is, for Malchus, you need Hasra, and Hasra has to be Terkele Dibur. Anyway, the point is, when in general we say that Guf and Mechlokim count as separate Averis, as far as Malchus, as far as Chatas, this has been the last few days in Rambam Shlosha Perakim, for example, talking about such dinim. You can have a person, for example, had relations with multiple women who were also to him. He was Mechalo multiple Shabbosis, each time knowing that it's Shabbos, but not knowing that this particular thing was Malacha, different things like that. Or even you could have the other way around. You have where he knows the concept of Shabbos, but he didn't know today was Shabbos, whatever. Ultimately, you have cases where each one is considered a separate guf, and he's chayav a separate chatas for each one. So why wouldn't we say that over here? Here there's no chatas, because we're not talking about a matter of kores, but the point is it should be malchus for each one. Yeah, and had a shameless mechlokim, and there's even different names, because one was the almona of Reuven, and another one the almona of Shimon, and so forth. Tosfos says, really, it doesn't really need to mention that point. It wouldn't really matter. If all these women were married to Reuven, the same thing would apply. The fact is that Gufim mechlokim is enough to make separate malchus for him for each one. We don't care whether really one was married to Reuven and another one to Shimon, and so forth.
They could have the same names, though.
Well, that doesn't matter. We don't mean names as in their actual names. We mean names as in the name of the Isser. In other words, this one is also to him because she was an almona. This one is also to him because she was an almona, but a different husband, and so forth. But the fact is, it doesn't even matter whether they're each one is an almona from a different husband, as long as they're all almonas and each one is a goof of its own, then he's getting separate malchus for each one. So then
he's a
kohen gadol. We're talking about only a kohen gadol is also to marry an almona. Yeah. So the Gemara answers El Shabal Almona Achas Sholish Bias. So you're talking about it was one Almona and he has relations with her three times. Well, hey Chidami, what's the scenario? Either like Asrube, if they didn't give him Asra before every individual Bia, Pshitagain Achai Val Achas. Of course, he's only getting one Malchus because Malchus requires Asra. Ella the Asura Bay Ako Khoda Vachoda, and if they gave him Asura individually for each one, Amai in a Chayv Alachas. Why would he be Chayv only one? But Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Nazir, Nazir Shoshigayin Koloyim Koloy, if a Nazir is drinking wine all day long, in a Chayv Alachas, he's only going to be Chayv. They gave him Asura at the beginning, he's Chayv only one Malkus, but Omrulay Altishte Altishte, but if each time they tell him, don't drink, and again, don't drink, and he's continuing to drink, he's going to be Chayav Malkus individually for each one. Now, when it comes down, now, there are a few explanations the Rishonim give, why indeed he should be Chayav only one. You have Rashi explains elsewhere, because he could say he forgot the Hasura, because more than Teshpid Ejibber. Another explanation, the Ri brings an explanation, because unless you have Hasurois to break it up, then it's considered all one drinking. Whatever, there's different reasons that are given why, but the point is, Tosfos Reed says that he could say that I thought I'm not going to be chayav for each one individually, but if they actually tell him asura for each one, then he's chayav for each one individually. So the same thing over here then. If they only gave him one asura, then of course he's chayav only one, so it would be similar to, because then the same way as the nazir, and if they gave him separate asuras, he's going to be chayav for each one. So what are we saying? Ein chayav al achas is a blanket statement that he's only ever going to be chayav one. So the answer is loit sricha. The chiddush for the brayse is shabal almanas Reuven shahoisa almanas Shimon shahoisa almanas Levi. She was married to Reuven and he died. Then she married Shimon and he died. Then she married Levi and he died. So she's a three times almana, but she's all one person. Ma'ud tema had a shemus mochlokin. You would say that after all, there are different shemus over here because she was married to Reuven and then to Shimon and then to Levi. So she'd be chayav three malchus because she was an almana from three different husbands. No, kamash malon gufim mochlokin ba'in and galeka. The fact is, you need different gufim and you don't have because she's all one person. Therefore, the kohen gadol can be chayav malchus only once for having relations with her. So that's what we mean by almana, 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 in a chayv al-achas. And similarly, grusha, 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 what we mean is one woman who's an almana multiple times, or one woman who's a grusha multiple times, because it's one person, therefore it's only one malchus.
Yeah, but that means it was done separate days, so that's done.
No. We mean that the Kohen Gadol had relations with her one time, but she previously had been widowed three times, or in the case of a or divorced three times. Nevertheless, we're saying she's still one person, and therefore it's only one. Therefore, he's only over on one issue, and is getting only one malchus. Okay. Now the Braisa had continued almana ugrusha v'halola zoyna. Now the Braisa had continued that if you have a woman who's an almana who is also a grusha, who is also a halola, who is also a zoyna, then we said if it's kaseder, we said if it's in order, then he's chayav four malchus. But if it's out of order, then he's not chayav. Then he's not chayav that many malchus. If it's in the opposite order. So we have
to. Even if it's just one time.
One time he has relations. So yeah, you can have. There are many cases in halacha where a person can do one action and he's chayav for multiple. He's chayav for multiple averus and he gets multiple malchus, so he has to bring multiple chatos. In those cases, what you have to have is though that there are separate isurim involved. So you can have, for example, a woman who's also to him as an Ashes Ish and a Nidda, let's say, and he has relations with her, then he's going to be Chayav let's say it was all Beshoigig, then he'd have to bring two Chatois. Because they're different, because even though it's all one goof, it's Shemus Mochlokin, there's different names of Aveira. Before we were talking about a woman who was an Almana three times over. We thought that it's Shemus Mochlokin in the sense that one is, she's an Amona of Reuven and she's also an Amona of Shimon and also an Amona of Levi. And we say no, because the fact is it's one Issur of Amona. But if there were multiple Issurim within her, for example, if she was an Amona as well as a Nida, then yeah, he'd be getting two Malkus. So now, when our Braisa had said that if she's an Amona and a Grusha and a Chalola and a Zoyna in that order, then he's Chayav Malkus for each one. So we have to ask, Chay Tana Maika Sober. What is the Tana of our Mishnah hold in terms of one Isser being on top of another Isser? Ikasaber Isser Chalal Isser. If he holds once something is Osir, it can become Osir with another Isser. Well then, Ipchanami, then it shouldn't matter the order, even if it's in the opposite order. Isser Chalal Isser. The Ikasaber Ein Isser Chalal Isser. And if the Tana holds that an Isser does not go on top of an Isser, that once something is Osir, it can't become more Osir, well then, Keseder Azanami Loi, then he shouldn't, Afilo Keseder Azanami Loi, then he shouldn't be getting Malkus, even if it is in this order. So why does the order make a difference, according to this Tana? The answer is, Omar Rava, Hai Tana, Isser, Chalal, Isser, Les Lay, it is true that this Tana does not hold, in general, that Isser, Chalal, Isser, but Isser Moisif Islay. But he does agree when the second Isser is Moisif on the first one, that he does agree the second Isser can be Chal. Now, Tosfos Riyazokin discusses over here that there are two kinds of Isser Moisif. One can be where the one can, when one can be where she becomes usur in something that she was mutter in beforehand. For example, a grusha becomes a halala. A woman who's a grusha, she's usur to marry a kohen. However, she would be able, if she herself was a bas kohen, she would be able to go back to eating truma in her father's house. However, once she becomes a halala, then that's also closed off to her. So therefore, that's one way of isur moisur. So now there becomes a new isur on her that she didn't have before. The second way of isur moisur would also be that the second way of isur moisif would be that if somebody else is also in her that wasn't before. For example, as far as dinim of chaylev. Let's say, for example, you're not allowed to eat chaylev, but it can still be brought as a korban on the mizbeach. But if the chaylev becomes tomei, then you can't bring it on the Mizbeach either. So now that would be an Isur Moisif in the sense that now there's a greater Isur on the Schelev that didn't exist before. So now, our Tana will hold of the concept of Isur Moisif. So therefore, so like this, Almona Asur L'Kohen Gadol. So let's start off with the Almona is also to a Kohen Gadol, Vashari L'Kohen Hadid. At that point, she would be perfectly allowed to marry a Kohen Hadid. Havyala Grusha, once she becomes divorced as well, Nigodi Toysifla Isur L'Gabi Kohen Hadid, since there's an Isur added to her regarding a Kohen Hadid, now she becomes also to marry a Kohen Hadid, then therefore, Toysifla Isur L'Gabi Kohen Gadol, then therefore, now an Isur is added, also relative to the Kohen Gadol. So now the Kohen Gadol, at this point, has relations with her, he's going to get twice Malchus. One because of the Isur Amona, which is unique to him, and another one because of an Isur that was added that applies to regular Kohenim, which also therefore can apply to him as well. We don't say, in other words, she's already Usur to him, so you can't add another Isur. We're saying because it's an Isur Moisif, then therefore it does add another Isur and therefore another Malchus for him.
For the Kohen Gadol, yeah. One because the Kohen Gadol and one because it's a Kohen.
Because she's a Grusha, and now as a Grusha, she is Usur to all Kohenim. So that's an Isur Moisif in the sense we've added an Isur, we've added a dimension of Isur that didn't exist before. Then let's continue. The Adayin Shariya L'Meichel B'Truma, at this point in her life, if she has no children from her husband, she would be able to go back to eating Truma, because a Grusha, there's no problem with that.
Because she had a B.L. Asura.
No, that's because, wait. No, because what we're saying is, if she did, at this point in her life, if she's an Amona and a Grusha, and had not had a B.L. Asura with a Koyin, she would be able to go back eating Truma.
Yeah.
Well, so now, Havyala Halala, if now she becomes a Halala, namely by a Kohen having relations with her, where he's also true because she's a Grusha, and in the case of a Kohen Gadol, also an Amona, and we established on Amon Aleph that Bia Asura makes her a Halala. So now, Nigo di Itoisaf Isura Mechel Betruma, now that we've added to her an Isur, where she is no longer allowed to eat Truma, Itoisaf Isura Lagabu Kohen Gadol, that also has the power to add an Isur relative to the Kohen Gadol, where now he can get Malchus for the fact that he had relations with the Halala. She was already double Usur to him, but now we have an Isur Moisif. This is the definition of Isur Moisif, that now you have a new Isur that was created that didn't exist, or a new Isur that was that created or added that didn't exist before.
How is this third Isur, how is it applied?
Because we're saying, up until now, as an Almana or a Grusha, in principle, she would be able to go back to eating Truma. Right now, maybe fine. She has children from a previous marriage, so she can't. But once those children are gone, once they pass, if they pass away, then she's allowed to eat Truma. In other words, the fact of being an Almana or a Grusha in and of itself does not prevent her from eating Truma. But being a Halala does. That's called an Isur Moisif. That's called that now a new dimension of Isur has been added. Therefore, that also goes back on the Kohen Gadol now, where now, if he has relations with her, as an Almona plus Grusha plus Halala, he's also getting Malchus for the fact that she's a Halala.
Three.
So far we're up to three things. So Ella Zoyna, my Isur Moisif Isva. Obviously, he has to know. He has to have Asura. We're talking about before. So what about Ella Zoyna, my Isur Moisif Isva? Fine, that takes care of the first three. But what Isur Moisif is there in a Zoyna? Once she's a Halala, she's already also to a Koyin, she's also to Yitruma. What is becoming a Zoyna, meaning that she had relation with a Goy or a Mamzer or what have you? that makes her a zoina, what extra isser does that add? What extra isser does that add that we didn't have already? How is that an isser moisir? The answer is Amar of Chana Baruch Tina Hoyov Hashem Znus Hoysel B'Yisrael. Because the concept of Znus can make her also to Yisrael. Namely, in other words, here we might not be talking about Znus that was even with her consent. We know, after all, even if a woman was raped by a goy, she's also to a Koyin. Nevertheless, though, the name Zoina that is used for her is also in common with the name Zoina that is used when a woman is Mizana willingly, where then, if she's married to Yisrael, she becomes also to him. So therefore, the concept of Zoina is an Isur Moisif in the sense that there can be a kind of Zoina who is also to Yisrael. Therefore, even though here we're not necessarily talking about that kind of Zoina, nevertheless, the name Zoina can be considered an Isur Moisif. And therefore, so now the Kohen Gadol, therefore, is going to get Malkus for the fact that she was a Zoina as well, even though it's not the same kind of Zoina necessarily that would be also to Yisrael. But the point is the name Zoina is something that would be also to a that would be also to Yisrael.
And it's number four.
So that's how we get all four. So that's why it has to be in that order: Almona, then Grusha, then Chalala, then Zoina. If we did the other way around, now we understand what the Braisa was saying, that if she's a Zoina first, then the whole thing wouldn't work. Because as a Zoina already, you have the maximum that you already have. You already have, in principle, she would be also even to her husband in Yisrael, if it was a Zoina willingly. And therefore, being a Halala doesn't add anything to that. It's not an Isur Moisif. And similarly, becoming a Grusha doesn't add anything to that. She's already also to eat Terumah. She's already also to marry a Kohen. Therefore, if she was a Zoina first, and then the other ones, then there would be only one Malkus when a Kohen Gadol has relations with her, or a Kohen Hadid for that matter, because then there's no Isur Moisif, according to the Tana of this Mishnah. Now, if we said Isur Chalal Isur regardless, then there would be. But the Tana of this Braisa holds, and this is the halacha, that Isur Chalal Isur, only when it's an Isur Moisif, there's also something called an Isur Koilo. There can also be where the Isur includes things that previously were mutter and now are included in that. An example of Isur Koilo is, for example, you have, let's say, Chalev on Yom Kippur. Chalev is also to eat all year round, but Yom Kippur, everything is also to eat. That's called an Isur Kolo, and therefore it includes the Chalev as well. So if a person eats Chalev on Yom Kippur, he's going to be bringing two Chatois.
One for
Chalev and one for Yom Kippur, yeah. Okay. So that explains what we said in the Braisa.
The Kohen has to really know his...
Well, the bottom line is the Kohen has to marry a woman who's kosher to him. That's the bottom line. Okay. The Gemara continues. Toni Tana Kamedet of Sheshes. A Tana taught before the Sheish has the following Braisa. The Pasuk says about a Kohen Gadol who Isha of Seleha Yikach, and then it continues with the list of women he's not allowed to marry. Almona or Grusha, B'chalol Zonas, Elo Yikach. So the Braisa says, Kol Shehu B'Yikach, any woman who is suitable to marry a Kohen Gadol, where he could accomplish the mitzvah of Yikach with her, Harehu B'lo Yikach, then the mitzvah of Lo Yikach applies, meaning if this same woman is a Grusha or what have you, then he's not allowed to marry her. Or an almona. But, kol she'ena b'yikach, ena b'lo yikach, but if there's no yikach possible, if she's also to him already on other grounds, then the concept of lo yikach doesn't apply. Meaning, in other words, basically you have a hekesh kind of between the psukim. Therefore, says the Braisa, prat l'kohen gadol sh'bo'a l'chosa almona. So therefore, that would exclude, suppose the Kohen Gadol's sister is an almona. What if he has relations with her? She's already also to him anyway, being his sister. So therefore, so the concept of that he should be getting Malkus because she's an almana wouldn't apply. He's getting Malkus because she's his sister, but not in addition because she's an almana. Well, that's because we're learning from the fact that it says Yikach and then Lo Yikach one next to the other. So therefore, the whole concept of Lo Yikach, that he's Chayev Malkus for marrying an almana, would only apply if otherwise he would have been able to marry her, but since he can't yet. Omalei, but if Shesha says to Omalachmani, who is telling you this Braisa, meaning according to what Tana is this Braisa, Reb Shimon he, to Omar Ein Isur Chalal Isur. Apparently this Braisa is only according to Reb Shimon, who says Ein Isur Chalal Isur, as we said before. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Reb Shimon Omar, Ha'uchel Nevela B'yem HaKippurim Potter, if a person eats Nevela on Yom Kippur, he would be Potter for the Kodesh of Yom Kippur, because he holds the Isur of Yom Kippur cannot be Chal on the Isur of Nevela. And he holds, now Tosfos points out, even Reb Shimon maybe would hold, Maybe Rav Shimon would agree that Isur Moisif maybe Rav Shimon would agree with Isur Moisif, because after all, you can consider in the case of the Kohen Gadol's sister, who's an Amona, there is an Isur Moisif in the sense up until now, until she became an Amona, she's also to the Kohen Gadol always, because she's a sister, but she would have been mutter to a different Kohen Gadol, for example, the Kohen Mashuach Mochama, who has the same dinim as the Kohen Gadol as far as who we can marry. Now that she becomes an Amona, she's also to him as well. However, Tosfos says no. We can show that Rav Shimon does not even hold of Isur Moisif. Now, the case he's talking about, Nevela and Yom Kippur, is not Isur Moisif. It's an Isur Kolol. That's a different thing. He may hold that an Isur Kolol is not Chal. But we find from other places, says Tosfos, that Rav Shimon does not even hold that an Isur Moisif would be Chal on top of an existing Isur. So therefore, and for that matter, we see over here with Nevela and Yom Kippur, even though Yom Kippur is Kores and it's not Chal on the Isser of Nevela, which is only a lab, how much more so than he's not going to say that the Isser of an Almona, which is only a lab, is going to be Chal on top of a Chose, which is Kores. So therefore, we can be sure, says Rav Sheshes, that this Braisa is only according to Rav Shimon. If our Braisa is according to the Chachamim, Ha'ami Isser Chal on Isser. Don't the Chacham say Isser is Chal on Isser? So why shouldn't the Isser of Almona be on top of the Isser of a Chose? And the Gemara says, no, Afilu Temen Abonon. Because that would only apply to a stronger Isser, Al Isser Kal, on top of a lighter Isser. For example, Yom Kippur on top of Nevela, they would hold that it's a, because Yom Kippur is Isser Kares, Nevela is only a Lav. Al Isser Kal, Isser Chomer, but to say that a lighter Isser of a Lav, for example, an Amona to a Kohen Gadol, should be on top of an Isser Chomer, Loi Chayil, they would say that they would say it's not Chal, and therefore that's why this Braisa would say, therefore, that he's not Chayil for the fact that she's an Amona, only for the fact that she's his sister. So it could be according to the Chachamim as well. Because in other words, in short, you have different opinions when Isser Chal al Isser. Before we've been saying now, Rav Shimon holds that you never have Isser Chal al Isser. According to a previous Braisa, yes, if it's an Isser Moisif or Isser Kolol. And now we're saying that the Chachamim over here would say we have to distinguish between whether the new Isser is an Isser Chomer or Isser Kal. When you have two Isserim of equal level, both of them are Kal, or both of them are Chomer, then we can talk about whether one is an Isser Moisif or Kolol or what have you. In the case of the Almona, Grush of a Halal Zona, all of them are Lavim, so therefore we can talk about one is Kal on top of the other, provided that you have Moisif or Kolol. But here, where you have an Isser Kal of Almona to go on top of Isser Chomer of Achosai, the Chachamim are not going to say that. Ikadami, then the Gemara brings another version. That Rav Shimon said that Rav Sheshes rather says to the Tana, Homani Rabbanan. Apparently this Braisa is according to the Rabbanan, the Amri Isu Chal al Isu. And therefore, normally they would say Isu Chal al Isu, and therefore here they have to say not so based on the Pasuk, based on the comparison in the Pasuk between Yikach and Lo Yikach. You have to say that because you would say Ki Amri Rabbanan Isur Chal al Isur, and you would say when the Chum say Isur Chal al Isur, Tani Mili Isur Chomer al Isur Kal, only when it's a stronger Isur on a weaker Isur, Abel Isur Kal al Isur Chomer Lo Chayil. But they would say not if a lighter Isur comes on a stronger one. You would have to say according to the second version of Sheshes, saying to his Tana that this Braisa is specifically according to the Chachamim. The Eid of Shimon, if the Braisa was according to Rav Shimon, why would we even need to say that? Hashulot of Shimon, Isur Chomer al Isur Kal Loi Chayil. He says that even a stronger Isur of Yom Kippur is not Chal on a weaker Isur of Nevela. Isur Kal al Isur Chomer Meboya. Would you need to say in the case of Almona over Achosai, where Almona is a lighter Isur than Achosai? So wouldn't it be obvious that this Braisa says only according to the Chachamim, and it's not even needed according to Rav Shimon? And the Gemara answer is no, because Ma'udatim is a Kohuna Shayim. You might think that since the Torah puts special mitzvahs on Kohenim, maybe even Isur Kal is able to be Chalon, Isur Chomer, even according to Rav Shimon, Kamash Malon, and therefore the Braisa would be telling us that not. So the Braisa could be necessary according to Rav Shimon as well. Usually Isur Kal does not go on Isur Chomer, and according to him, not even Isur Chomer on Isur Kal, but maybe Isur Kohuna are different, and therefore the Braisa has to tell us not so. Okay. Continues the Gemara. If a Yisrael has relations with his sister. So there's no question Zoyna Mashabilo. There's no question that by doing that, he makes her a Zoyna. And again, it doesn't matter whether it was with her consent or not. Either way, it was a Bia Asura, and therefore no question she becomes a Zoyna and is also to marry a Kohen.
Even if she thought it was her husband.
Doesn't matter who, what she thought, yeah, even if it was bonus, it was completely bonus, yeah. However, the question her papa says is, chalala mashabila or la mashabila? Does he also, in addition, make her a chalala by that as well? Do we say that a kavachoymer would say mechayve lav and havi chalala? She becomes a chalala just by having relations with a koyin, which is only a chayve lavin. Mechayve krisis like kol shekin. How much more so if with her own brother, where there's a chiyuv koris, then how much more so she would become a chalala from that? Or joma ain chalala elam isir kohona. Or maybe the definition of chalala is only if the relations that were also is something that's also specifically to koyin. And therefore, not this, because here this is an Isser, that's chal on everybody. So Abaye answers him, yeah, ein Isser chalala, and I'm Isser kohona movad. The definition of chalala is only when it was in from an Isser kohona. Omar Rava Menaham Milsa da Omar Abanan ein chalala elam Isser kohona. So Rava says, where do we get this from? So the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. When the Pasuk says, like this, the Pasuk says by a Kohen Hedyot that he's not allowed to marry a Zona or a Halala or a Gurusha. Then by the Kohen God, it repeats those three and it adds the Amon. So the question is, the Braisa says, Lo Yomer Grusha b'Kohen Gadol, it shouldn't have had to say the fact that a Kohen Gadol can't marry a Grusha, the Tesi b'Kavachomer b'Kohen Hedyot. We would learn it by a Kavachomer from a Kohen Hedyot. Ba'ano Amina, we would say, Hash for the Kohen Hedyot, Asura, if she's also to a Kohen Hedyot, l'Kohen Gadol m'Boya, how much more so to the Kohen Gadol? First of all, for one thing, because he's a Kohen as well, you wouldn't say the Issur goes away by him becoming Kohen Gadol. Loma Nemra, so why does the Pasuk mention Grusha by a Kohen Gadol? Means to teach us, Peshem Shechaluka Grusha is Zona V'Halala. Just like the Kohen Hedyot. Just like by a Kohen Hedyot, the Grusha is mentioned separately. How does the Pasuk say it? Isha Zona V'Halala Loikochu, the Isha Grusha Me'isha Loikochu. So it's clear that there's a separate lab on a Grusha for a Kohen Hedyot. You wouldn't say, in other words, you have a concept in Halacha called lab Shechalus. Sometimes you have a Pasuk that says, don't do this, this, or this, and it's all considered one lab. And therefore, there would be only one Malchus for it. Here, since the Pasuk specifies that Grusha is considered separate, there's no question of separate Malchus for marrying and having relations with a Grusha. So therefore, so we learn from that, just like that, So the same way as a Grusha is distinguished from a Zona and Chalola by a Kohen Hedyot, the same way by a Kohen Gadol, and Almona is something separate. In other words, even though the Pasuk puts them all in one thing, Almona or Grusha or Chalola Zona, and then it says one Loy, as Ela Loy Yikach, nevertheless, from the fact that it has Grusha in the middle of that list, and before by the Kohen Hedyot, we had Grusha singled out for herself, then we learn that each one of these is a separate issue of its own. Then the Braisa continues, so therefore he's getting Malchus for each one. Then the Braisa continues, Chalala Lama Nemra. Why does it repeat Chalala by the Kohen Gadol? Again, given that we already had it by the Kohen Hedyot, to teach us exactly what Abaye just said, in Chalala Elamei Isser Kohona, that a Chalala is defined as only when she was born from an Isser Kohona, as opposed to, we said, when she was born from some other kind of Isser. So that brings us back to what Rav Papa had asked Abaya, that if a brother and sister have relations, what's the status of the daughter? She's a mamzeres, but she's not a chalala. Because a chalala would only be from Isser Kohuna. And here it's not an Isser Kohuna, it's called an Isser Ashova Bakoil. It's an Isser that applies equally to all Jews. Next, Zona Loma Nemra. Why does it mention again Zona by the Kohen Gadol, given that it mentioned it by the Kohen Hedyot, is that you have for Xeda Shova. Nemra can Zona, Venema Lahalan Zona. Both by the Kohen Gadol and by the Kohen Hedyot, it says the word Zona. Ma kan zare cholin. Just like by the Kohen Gadol, the Pasuk makes it clear that if he marries any of these women, his children become chalalim, as we discussed before. Aflahalam, zare cholin. The same way, a Kohen Hedyot marries any of these women who are also to him, including a chalala, the children will be, or a Zona, including a Zona, the children will be chalalim. And Omer of Ashi, said of Ashi, finishes off. Hilkach. Koyin, therefore, we can figure out as follows. If a Koyin has relations with his sister, Zona Mashabila Chalala Mashabila, at that point, he makes her a Zona, and if another Koyin then goes and marries her, he's going to get Malchus for Zona. But Chalala Mashabila, the brother has not made her a Chalala, because it's not an Issa Korna specifically. If then he has relations with her again, Asor Chalala, then at that point, he additionally makes her a Chalala, because once she's a Zona, and she's also to him by a specific Isser Kohuna, then already we can say that when he has relations with her, then he makes her, in addition, he also makes her a Halala. Now, an interesting point is, didn't we say before, what about, we said, ein isu chalal iser, once she's ready, a zoyna, how can the isu chalala be chal on her?
Even though it's a has to the kayin.
So we said, on the face of it though, she's already also to him, so, and then she's already, not only she's also to him, she's also to all kayinim, because she's a zoyna, so how can, again, it was against her will, but that's neither here nor there, but the point is, well, how can we say that now, how can we say that she, that now she becomes a chalala, when we said before, chalala can't be on top of a zoyna?
How about
Yisro Koyl, all those things? Because there's no Yisro Moisif on the face of it over here. As a Zona, she already conceivably could be also to Yisrael as well, if she was married to Yisrael and was Mazana Berotzen. We said before that in that case, Ein Yisro Chalal Yisro. So the Tosfos HaRosh gives an answer that what we mean is, let's say a Koyan who wants to marry her was a Kotan at the time. So now, when he becomes Bar Mitzvah after she became a Chalala, so now it's called Yisro Bas Achos. This is another case where Isur Chalal Isur, where the two Isurim come at the same time. Namely, at the same time, she becomes, as soon as he becomes Bar Mitzvah, she becomes also to him by being a Zoyna as well as being a Chalala, and for that he could get double Malchus, even though they happen out of order. But we're talking about that for him, relative to him, they both kicked in only at the same time, namely when he becomes Chayiv in Mitzvahs.
The two things happen at the same time.
There's also Isur Bas Achas can also be Isur Chalal Isur, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a Kohen. So in other words, the scenario would be her brother had relations with her. That made her, he said, a Zayna. Then he has relations with her again, makes her in addition a Chalala. Now, what does that mean? It means if a different Kohen, who at the time when all this happened was a Kohen, now wants to marry her after he becomes a Gadol, if he does, he's getting double mounts. Because for him, at the same moment that she becomes also as a Zayna, she also becomes also to him as a Chalala. So therefore, so, and in that case, is another example of Isur Chalal Isur, where the two Isurim come to Basachas.